Well, I feel in need of your prayers this morning. Pray that the Lord would bless his word to us, desires to feed your souls. The Spirit of the Lord is the only one that's really able to do that. So I pray that he would speak to every one of us, meet us where we are, speak our language. Like to consider a lesson that the Lord Jesus gave us from the book of Luke, a common parable that we no doubt have heard many times. Luke, the 19th chapter. Beginning in the 11th verse. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's my little burden this morning. Occupy until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. The parable, the story, and one that they would have related unto, this had occurred unto one of their rulers in their lifetime, that had gone up unto the seat of the kingdom, unto Rome, to get the authorization to rule over that precinct or district. And there were those opposed unto it, but nonetheless it was the authority of the ruler of the kingdom to be able to grant that authority. Well, it says here of a man, a certain nobleman that went into a far country, of course, speaking as we understand of Jesus, going back unto heaven from his time here on earth, an unknown space of time that he is away. And during that period of time, he gives charge and commission to certain servants that are in his employ, saying unto them, occupy until I come. Well, there's a picture given really of two groups of people. There were those of the citizens who opposed his rule, didn't want anything to do with him being the ruler. It won't matter in that day when the Lord Jesus returns what people say they want to rule over them and not to rule over them, or what they want to believe or not to believe. It really won't matter in that day. Let God be true and every man a liar. The word of truth will stand in that day, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. Well, let us be of that number who are eagerly looking for his return. Let us also be those who are in the employment of the Lord. As his servants, that he committed his goods unto. Well, we read Matthew's rendition of his parable as being talents. The Lord imparted something of himself, of his belonging, of his goods unto his servants. And he did so with an expectation of them, that whenever he returned again, that he should find what he had given. But not only that, as we see from the man with the 1 pound, but he expected them to engage themselves gainfully in his employment for his cause in the time that he's gone, for whatever space of time that might be. His expectation of them was to occupy. You know, it's important for us to be occupied. That means busy, but not only busy, because we can be busy and get nothing done of what really matters. We can busy ourselves. The enemy's not opposed to us being busy. In fact, it may be one of his favorite tools. But the Lord says to busy yourself. Yet I believe that means more. To busy oneself with, or to carry on as a business. To carry on with the intent of the good and the well-being and the growth of the venture that's been committed into your hands. Well, there is a way to a way to run a business, and there's a way not to run a business. I appreciate the form of government that has been committed unto us. That is also something committed unto our keeping, that without the proper care will be lost, as we're seeing. But I appreciate that we have the freedom to be able to start a business, be able to take what little capital and knowledge maybe, or skill that you have, and fill a need in your community, be able to start a business. And if we've seen those that have done that, been successful at it. They were successful for a multitude of reasons, but often it wasn't because of a lack of work. Didn't just start a business because that was the easiest thing in the path of least resistance. But to be successful at a place of business, or in starting your own business, you've got to be committed to it. You've got to be willing to invest of yourself into that. That it's not just something that you go and you punch the clock from whatever hour to whatever hour, and then you're gone. But I give myself to this. I invest myself in it. I want to see the success of this. It may require some long hours and some sacrifice and some doing without and some discipline. You know, the Lord wants us to invest some diligent effort into his business. Well, what is it that's his business? You know, the kingdom of God should be every one of our business. It's committed unto us, delivered unto us. And the Lord has an expectation of every one of us. Whenever he returns, and as we're told here in the parable, that when he does return, that we'll give an account unto the Lord of the things that he's committed unto us. If I am one with 1 talent or 1 pound, I won't be asked to give account for what you have. But I'll be asked to give an account of what I have, the opportunities that I've been given, the understanding that the Lord has given unto me. What have I done with that? Have I taken it and made it of no use? You know, we can do that with the things of the Lord. We can take the word of the Lord even that has been given unto every one of us, and we can shelve it. We can put it away and allow it to collect and gather dust. You know, we can go to services over and over and over again. Camp meeting after camp meeting and hear the word and say, oh, that's the word of the Lord. And well, maybe that was good. And yet the Lord's expectation, yes, it is that we hear the word of the Lord. That we have the desire that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But there's more than that. The Lord is looking for an increase from the things that He's given us. He's looking for diligent hands from His stewards. Diligent hands and effort that is applied into the things that He's given to us. The things that He's shown us. The things that He's dealt with us about before. Again, the Lord isn't going to come and call me to an account of those things that He hasn't dealt with me about or given me an understanding of. But those times that the Lord has come along and challenged me and dealt with me, that's what I'll give an account for. What have I done with that? What have I done with the opportunities that the Lord has given unto me? It requires some diligent application, some effort. It's more popular than hard work is get rich quick schemes and ideas. The idea of being able to put in very little effort and getting a big return. But there's a more surefire way of getting a return on your investment than going and frittering away your money at a casino or a jackpot and hoping for the chance that you might be able to get a return on that. You know, never was the Lord's plan of industry. It was never the Lord's plan of employment for His people, is to just employ yourself on chance. I want to go back and look at a couple scriptures from the beginning. Whenever you look at the creation, God's creation of the world and His creation of mankind, it says that the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. The Lord caused in the garden to grow all sorts of beautiful plants, flowers, trees, for the enjoyment of mankind and for their food source and all of that. And it says the Lord God took the man, second chapter in the 15th verse, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord then gave them instructions of what they were to partake of and not partake of. But notice that it says the Lord put them in the garden to dress it and keep it. You ever thought of what the purpose of that was? This was before the fall. This was before sin had entered into their hearts. It was before they experienced the curse of sin. It was before the thorns and the thistles. Yet they were given a responsibility. They were given something that they were to care for, that they were to employ. And there's a lot that we don't know and understand of how Adam and Eve spent their time. It was wonderful. It was without the negatives of sin, the harsh realities that it brought upon the world. They had communion with the Lord God on a regular basis, as in the cool of the day. You know, the Lord gave them something to do. I want you to dress it and to keep it. And there was, let me back up here a little bit. The curse of sin. Remember that whenever, well, we're fast forwarding, but whenever Adam and Eve were cursed because of the sin that they had committed. And to Adam it was told that basically you're going to have to earn the bread that you eat by the sweat of your brow. You know, the curse was not work. The curse was the fact that in your toil and in your effort, you're going to be met with obstacles and hindrances and pain, and you're going to cut your feet and your hands on the briars and the thorns, and the ground isn't going to yield so plentifully without even more effort into it. Even in the time of the garden, they were given responsibility of work. They were given something that they were given the responsibility of. This is your charge and your keeping. You invest in it. You cultivate it. And by doing that, you'll be able to see an increase of your efforts. The Lord wanted them to be able, and that was the first employment, first job that's recorded, that of Adam and Eve's. They were made the keeper of what the Lord had created. And we today are made the keepers of what the Lord has created and given us, the things of God. Slothfulness is our enemy. Romans, the 12th chapter. Thinking about what it means to occupy until the Lord comes. Romans 12 and verse 11 says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." You know, Christianity teaches and instills industry in people. The best kind of worker I believe that you can find is somebody that's like Christ. Somebody that'll be honest and fair. Somebody that has purpose and direction. Somebody who in everything they do, no matter how mundane or routine it is, the scripture says, do it as unto the Lord, as serving the Lord. Don't be slothful in your business. We read that principle throughout the Word of God. Even read, I believe it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, that you are to look well to the state of your herds or your flocks. If that is your occupation, then put your hand to it. Give everything that you have to it. Don't just run it slovenly. Don't just buy the cattle and put them out there and hope for the best. There's a responsibility that comes with that. There's an effort and an oversight, and there's some preventive action that you're going to have to do. Remember what Solomon said of the field of the slothful man. He went by it and the stone wall was broken down and the weeds were grown up. It was in a state of disrepair and neglect. That's not the way the Lord wants us to order our business. That's not the way the Lord wants us to work on our jobs, in our career as men, in our place that the Lord has given to every one of us, men, women, children alike. Every one of us in our station of life have a responsibility that we're called unto. And the Lord wants us to do it with our heart, heartily, as unto the Lord. Not unto men, not as men pleasers or with eye service. If they're looking, then I'm going to work hard. You ever seen folks like that? And as soon as the boss goes out of the room, whew, it's time to slack off. But the scripture teaches us the principle of diligence, of hard work. I believe that Christianity is more than a philosophical religion that the philosophers and the intellectual can debate on those levels, but it's something that has practical application to our everyday life. Every one of us are going to have mundane responsibilities given to our care. It's not exciting. It may not even be fun. But it's given to my responsibility. So what does the scripture say of what our hands find to do? Do it with your might. Give your strength unto it. While you have the opportunity, because the time is coming that you're not going to be able to work and do that. So apply yourself unto it. And I believe there's reward to that. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, gives us some guidance of how to sleep well. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Again, some of this is maybe we'd think common sense, but I wonder how common it is today in our world. When there is more commonly a sense of entitlement, a sense that somebody owes me something. I remember my first job out of school, was still in school. I remember working with another student. The boss had asked us to do a job that was going to involve dirty hands by the time it was over. I remember this coworker saying, it's not what I was hired to do. Does he know what degree I'm going after? I'm not going to do something like that. You know, he didn't last very long. There should be something within us that's different than that. Something within us that's willing to apply ourselves to what we have responsibility before us. Whether it's a mother, children at home, a man on the job and in the teaching of his children, whatever our occupation is, working for somebody or serving somebody, leading somebody. You know, the Lord wants us to do it with our heart. And what a difference it makes. And when you get up in the morning, when you go to work, it's not that you always just feel giddy and excited about getting up out of bed and going to work. But you know, there's something about the sleep of a laboring man. There's something about when I've gotten to the end of the day and I've gotten some things accomplished. It took some sweat and it took some hard work and it took some starting over again maybe and some frustration. And I don't know about you all, but whenever I have a home improvement project, it seems like I can try to plan it out. And I can go to Lowe's and I can make all the purchases that I have on my list, bill of materials, and I don't know how many times I go back to Lowe's again. If it's a plumbing job, I find a valve, a wooden shut off, it's Lee, oh, now I got to go replace that part. And oh, I forgot I didn't have that tool. I forgot I'm out of plumbing tape. I forgot, and back over and over again. And it's frustrating. You know, it's rewarding at the end of the day to be able to say, no leaks. No drips. It's fixed. It works. So there is application of diligence in our everyday life. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Whatever your station and responsibility in life is, don't be weary in well-doing. There's a purpose to it. There's a reason for it. Lord, help me to be renewed in my vision, to see the importance and significance of the place the Lord has put me. Well, we've been dealing here the last few minutes about our natural occupations, as I believe it applies to. But how much more important the things of spiritual and eternal value. Whenever people want a business to succeed, they're willing to go to great lengths of sacrifice and effort to see to it that it succeeds. They're willing to invest in it. They're willing to lose sleep. They're willing to deny their hobbies and things like that to invest in this to see a business succeed. Remind you again of what occupy till I come means. It means that we occupy ourselves. We busy ourselves in the Lord's business as the stewards of His business until He comes back again. That I want to see the Lord's work continue on. that I want to see the things of God be able to be spread. And what was it that the Lord was concerned about? What was His business and His occupation? He fed the hungry, though it wasn't ever just to that extent. He clothed those that didn't have clothing, or so He required and commended of His servants. Fed those that were hungry and healed those that were sick, but His ultimate concern was the salvation of their souls. Folks, that's still the Lord's business. And the Lord has gone away for an unspecified period of time, and He has committed into our responsibility His Word, His love. He's committed to every one of us time and opportunity, time and chance that comes our way, and we can live our lives in a meaningless fashion. By that I mean just idly, in idleness, just kind of taking life as it comes and just occupied really in no more than just what I get up and what I'm going to eat today and what I'm going to wear today and where I'm going to go. And again, not to negate the importance of what I've just said about the job that we go to, but there's something more important than that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. If people give that kind of diligence to natural things, how much more diligence ought we to be willing to give to the things of God? Occupy. How well are you running the Lord's business? Think about another parable. It's given in Luke 16 about the unjust steward. He was accused of not doing justly, so he was called to give an account of his dealings. So he realized that his stewardship was going to be taken from him, and he went out to those that owed his master money, and he money or goods, wheat, whatever it was, the commodity, and he asked them, "How much do you owe?" They said, "Well, it's this much." And he said, "All right, will you sit down and write out a bill for half that amount? Or you give my Lord 80% of that amount." And he bargained with them so that they gave a certain amount to the master, to his Lord. And his Lord commended him, not in that he was an unjust steward, not in his unjustness, but he commended that he was industrious, that he applied his mind, he was wise in what he did, and that he was able to extract at least a certain amount that he had applied himself. Now the parable was using a natural thing for us to glean a spiritual meaning. If the Lord of a household would commend the wisdom and the application of a steward, even though he was unjust in something like that. He went on to say that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Not that they have more wisdom in spiritual things, but in how they apply themselves to take an advantage of a situation, to be able to assess a time and a circumstance and an opportunity and say, "I can exploit this or take advantage of it." Folks, we're again called to responsibility of the Lord's business. Are we taking advantage of the opportunities that the Lord puts before us? As one who is continuing the business of the Lord. You know, this COVID situation has given opportunities. Are we taking advantage of those opportunities? Are we taking advantage of the opportunities that are placed in our pathway every day, every week? And I'll just tell you, as the Lord has been challenging me with these things, I said, "Lord, is this just for me? Because I know it's for me. What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my life?" I look back over a year that has just flown by. Do I measure the successes just by the temporal things that I was able to accomplish and get done and achieve? Or are there some places that I can look back and say, "I made some spiritual ground there. was able to tell somebody about the Lord over here. Was able to help somebody that was in need over there. Lord, help us to have eyes to see the opportunities that are before us. Wisdom to understand those opportunities that are before us and how to take advantage of those. We are called to be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. Lord, how can I take advantage of this situation? Somebody's hurting. Somebody's sick. Somebody's troubled about the conditions of our world. Lord, how can I take advantage of that for the purposes of your kingdom? Do we have that mindset? He said in one place, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white to harvest. Folks, let's not sit back with our... This is in no means an indictment, accusation. For I've been so challenged that I'm not sit back in discouragement and think, you know, let's just wait for this thing to wrap up. Nobody's really interested anymore. They're too far gone. There's no hope for that one over there. Lord, help me to see that the fields are white for harvest. That there are opportunities. You don't sow seed only if you believe there's a 100% chance of it bringing forth fruit. When you're sowing the seed, you sow it. And you cast it out. Every one of us are called as stewards of the things of God. And the Lord is going to ask an account of us. What have you done with the time that you had? What have you done with the opportunities that I gave you? You remember the 25th chapter of Matthew, the scene of the judgment. Whenever he separated the goats and the sheep, and he said unto those that had done well, well done. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I'm thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was naked and poor and blind, and all these things you ministered unto me. He said, Lord, when did we see you that way? I didn't even realize that on the other side, well, Lord, if I would have known, I would have given it to you. But when did I see you in that condition? Oh, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the cry of those that are hurting and in need. Lord, help me to be attuned unto what are the needs of my neighbors? What are the needs of my coworkers? Lord, how can I somehow step in the gap and help in their time of need? Whatever our calling is, whatever our skills and our gifts are, the Lord expects us to put that to good use. Though it may just be very little that I can do. You remember what the Lord asked Moses whenever he was sending him into Egypt to meet with Pharaoh? Moses felt so inadequate. As we all will. He felt so inadequate. Lord, how am I going to convince them? What are they going to say? And how am I going to respond? And the Lord asked him, what is in your hand?
Lord, it's my rod. That's all it is. That's nothing special. And he said, cast it down.
You know, the Lord, along these lines, the Lord comes and asks, what's in your hand? What has the Lord given into our hands? That's all He needs. Is the little bit that He's given us, the little rod that He's given, the little friendship that He's given me the opportunity of with this individual over here, the ability that I have to be friendly, the chance to drive somebody to the store and you fill in the blank. As the Lord gives you opportunity. What do I do with those opportunities? With what's in my hand? Am I willing to cast that down? Am I willing to allow the Lord to use that which is in my hand? Think about another parable in the 20th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Goes on to say, at different times of the day, he would go back and he would find those who were standing idle. And in the, I believe it was the last time, the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? There's more for you than that. You don't have to stand by just idly. Why? Imagine a picture of him just loitering around and nothing really to do, no real purpose or direction. And you say, why are you standing here idle all the day? Oh, may the Lord challenge us as we're facing into a new year. Lord, I don't want to stand here all the year long idle. Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do to make a difference? You know the way that we can most impact the kingdom of God? It's not trying to be like somebody else. It's not trying to emulate someone else's gift. It's not for all of us to go out on the street corner preaching. The most impactful way that we can make a difference in the kingdom of God is to be in the center of God's will. And that is going to look different for every one of us. What the Lord has given us to do, and the abilities and the skills and things, everyone, it's going to look different. The way that we can most impact the kingdom of God is to be in the center of His will. I need to have my own house in order. I need to have my priorities centered on things above. And then you say, Lord, I want to work. You know the Lord, when He sees a vessel that is meet for the Master's use, that is clean and purified and with a heart saying, Lord, what can I do for you? You know the Lord, I believe, will be faithful to give us something to do for Him. Just be careful to not look for something so great that I miss the little things the Lord gives me. And I say, well, that's nothing. All I did was say good morning. All I did was open the door for somebody. To not be looking for so great a things that I miss the little seeds that I plant along the way. That I not trivialize those and diminish those and say, well, unless I can do something great for the Lord, I'm not making a difference. Don't diminish the little things. Despise not the day of small things. The Lord is able to work with what is in your and my hands. The Lord is able to take that and cause it to bring an increase for the kingdom of God. An increase in souls. And folks, time is short. The devil knows it. He knows his time is short. And you know, there's even a sense in many people in the world, what's going on? Something, we're on the brink of something here. Folks, time is wrapping up. We don't have time to stand idle. We don't have time to spend our lives for just my own selfish pursuits and desires. That is the least fulfilling way to spend my life. You know, one of the best things to be able to tell the devil when it comes along? I'm occupied. Occupied till I come. I'm busy. I don't have time for you. You know, whenever the enemy comes in and brings thoughts and feelings, and that's what happened to all of us. When the enemy comes in and tries to bring self-pity, you know, one of the best ways to deal with that is to get up and go help somebody. It's to get up and go do something for the Lord. This isn't about us earning our way into salvation through our works. But it's about us saying, Lord, I want to be a vessel in your hands. I don't want to spend my life. I don't want to spend 2022 focused on me and focused on my problems and my needs and all of that. I've got to start there. I've got to tend first to my own soul, certainly. But I need to have a heart and eyes to say, Lord, help me to see. Lord, what can I do? I don't want to just see my job as a job. Lord, there's people that I'm in contact with on that job that may never come in contact with the truth. But I have an opportunity. Lord, help me to know how to exploit, not in a bad way, know how to take advantage of those opportunities. It can be so easy to let those things just pass right by. And I can be so busy and so focused and all that I've looked back at times and said, why didn't I recognize they were in need and in trouble? Why didn't I speak to them? And sometimes I can be hesitant. Well, they probably don't want to hear it. They're probably too busy. I'm not talking about us just going in like a loose cannon off on our own. But that we have a heart that says, Lord, show me what I can do. Give me the opportunities. And then being willing, when the Lord gives me the opportunity, to step out of my comfort zone and say, Lord, you give me the words here. Folks, the Lord, just like back in the Garden of Eden, He created all of that. Couldn't He have made it to be self-sustaining? But He put man in the garden and said, I want you to dress it. And I want you to keep it. I want you to work at this. I want you to apply yourself here to the increase of the things that I've created. And the Lord still expects the same of us, that we apply ourselves to the things of God, to my own spiritual increase, that I not just stand back and just expect it to happen. It comes as I invest myself in it. And so with things of helping others, I'd like to close now in the book of Psalms, 90th chapter. This has been for quite some time my prayer. Psalms 90 and verse 17. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Oh Lord, help us. We sang the song, Let Your Light So Shine. We talked about and heard this morning in Sunday school about people having a desire to see Jesus. Oh Lord, help me to, as they say in the South, fling a craven on people for Jesus. That they experience something, they see something and say, I want that. I want to see Him. I want to know about Him. I want to be able to see what you're talking about. Whenever you hear somebody spoken of many, many times favorably, doesn't it make you want to meet Him? Lord, help us to cause people to want to meet Jesus. That we have about us a savor of life. Lord, may Your beauty be upon us. The work of Your hands. He beautifies the meek with salvation. It's not going to be our works. Folks, it's not going to be the fact that we're Church of God. I believe it's right. That's why I'm here. I believe it's scriptural. But it's not going to be the fact that I say, well, let me tell you what, I'm Church of God and that's the only name to have and these are the only doctrines to... Are we adorning the doctrines? Are we making beautiful the way by the Spirit of Christ? Otherwise, it's so empty, it's so hollow. People say, I don't need more religion. I don't care what your church name is. But whenever they can get a taste of Christ, folks, there's something there that says, whatever you have, I want it. And then we can begin explaining and opening up the truths of who Christ is. But first, I've got to have that savor in me of His Spirit and His presence working in me and through me. May the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. That's my prayer for us this year. The Lord would establish the work of our hands. Lord, cause Your work to appear unto me. I could maybe be uncertain, Lord. I don't know exactly what my place is. I don't know exactly how to work for the Lord. You know, that's a good prayer to have. Lord, let Your work appear unto me. And as we fix our attention on the Lord and learn the voice of the Lord, He'll lead us right. He'll give us opportunities. And it might be little minute things along the way. But remember the parable said, because you've been faithful in little, I'm going to give you more. And as we're faithful in the little things the Lord gives us, He has a way of increasing and opening other doors for us to be able to were for him. So may that be our prayer and our desire in this year. I want to occupy until the Lord comes. Not just busy in myself, but I want to be busy about the things of God and the things that He gives me to do. You pray for me. Amen.